This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park here, Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com on a beautiful day. Didn't end the way we had hoped, but overall, we're talking about a success here, and we've got a brief amount of time, Dave, to celebrate what was a very successful homestand for the Seattle Mariner team going up against good competition, to say the very least, in the Braves, who come in with the best record in baseball. You won that series. You now have won five series in a row. This pitching staff has been on another level. Today was not the day for Emerson Hancock. The defense, cost him today. But all in all, I'm not going to put too much into the one loss. I'm not going to put more into the one loss than I will the two wins that they got against a very good Atlanta Braves team. And you beat the Diamondbacks. You beat the Rangers. You're beating teams that are good teams. This is not, you can't qualify this going, but they beat this bunch of schmageggies over here. No.
Yeah, I mean, they were 19-9 coming into this game, 20-9 now. And, you know, I was just looking at the RBIs on the two starting lineups today. We have 72 combined, and the Braves have 120.
They're a little better there.
Yeah, a little bit better at the RBIs, 31 for Marcell Ozuna. Everybody else 13-50. This is a really good team, is the point. And Austin Riley is really off to kind of a slow start. So, you know, it's a
bunch of their guys are actually.
Yeah.
And they're still putting up those kind of runs with Acuna Jr. with just one home run on the season.
Yeah. That's kind of unsettling because it's like that's not what they're used to. But the pitching, you know, kept him in it. And Hancock, I mean, he's the one guy you think about in the rotation that, like, okay, if he has a bad day, you'll understand it. He's not, you know, he's not established yet. I think, Bryce Miller has gone a long ways to establishing himself and, you know, not so much a question mark. But for Hancock, I'm not worried about him. I feel like whatever their process is really good. Same thing in the bullpen. But You kind of figured against a lineup like this, a premium lineup, and a guy who, you know, still pretty new to the league, that it's kind of to be expected.
Yeah. And it's you wonder how differently things might have gone. Now, it didn't look like he had his command even before the error in the outfield. But you wonder how differently things might have gone had Haniger come up with that ball. Yeah. And it was a rough day for Haniger in the field. He had the one that would have been a good catch where he went crashing into the fence. The other one, you got to make the catch. I mean, as much as we love Mitch, and we say it all the time, happy he's back, love the guy, he's not had a good year in the outfield. He's not, you know, some of the angles he's taken, you know, playing the balls off the wall a few times where it's just he's smothering it. He gets way too close out there and ball gets by him as he ends up chasing it around. It's just you've seen those moments a few times this year. So defensively, not what you were hoping for, and he's been in a bit of a drought offensively. The Grand Slam was huge, but you just look at what he's done in totality. He's kind of in a bit of a dip right now. So hopefully that turns around. But overall, again, the fact that this team is finding ways to win and, more importantly, beat good teams and win series from good teams with their offense, you know, well below what they've done historically. When you look at the back of the baseball card, to throw out the cliche, these guys are not playing up to that standard pretty much top to bottom for the most part, with the exception of Josh Rojas. Looks like Polanco's starting to find it a bit. Hopefully, we've seen it before. Hopefully he can sustain it. Nice to see Julio come up with three hits today, Dave. One of them, he hit hard down the line, so that was good to see. You're just looking for those moments like, okay, maybe this is where they start to get right, or this guy starts to get right. And you saw a little bit of that today, even in a loss.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned Polanco, who the last couple games, last few games, really, he's starting to come around and had some big hits in key moments. The one thing I thought that bothered me the most was last night and Julio just off the plate chasing things away. I mean, but you know, he comes up with what, three hits today?
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, he kind of atoned for that. But and then like you said about Mitch in right field, and like Raley last night had kind of a weird little angle that he took in left field. And you know, there's been, I thought Julio, there was one that he could have had, I think, in Toronto. So yeah, I mean, that part of it is, it's not like it's you know, some kind of a clown show out there or anything like that. It's just kind of some things that they can improve on. And one of them, for sure, I think, is Julio just chasing pitches away. Great again today, so hopefully it puts him on a path to get better. But that was kind of frustrating to watch last night.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Julio, and we saw him just crush his first and only home run of the season. You thought, okay, that's going to open the floodgates. This is where he's going to relax, and he's going to start to see a few more here more frequently. Hasn't happened yet. I like that he's getting hits, but you need him to do damage. Now, he's at the top of the lineup with JP out, so, you know, he's obviously starting the game with nobody on base, and you need the guys at the bottom of the order to get on base when he comes up. But when those moments happen, he's got to make them pay. He's got to make the opposition pay, and that's where he struggled, is with runners in scoring position and opportunities missed by him and certainly by, you know, a large part of this lineup. So the offense is still – you know, they're still searching for it, but they're finding ways to win, and it's due, I would say, 98% of the time to the pitching. That the pitching has just been outstanding. The bullpen was great today, even in a loss. I mean, things got away from them with the errors. I mean, you had the error with Haniger. You had the error with Hancock. He wasn't that sharp. Four walks. I will say this. You said yesterday, hey, I got to give that ump was on it. You gave him credit, and I said, that's a rare day to say something like that, Dave. Well, let's talk about what was happening with Nick Lance behind the plate today, because he made Angel Hernandez look like a Hall of Famer. He had an embarrassing day out there. I'm sorry, and I'm not pinning the loss on him at all, but he had an impact and not in a good way. He was horse bleep behind that plate today. It was atrocious.
There were three calls that were absolutely ridiculous, to be followed by a bunch of other ones, but you know, I think it was to right-handers outside high.
Way off the plate.
I mean, it looked like, you know, a lot of times you're like, you can see where, you know, and the guy last night was good, but this guy.
Nick Lance, terrible.
Really bad.
If you're
really
listening,
bad.
Nick, we all have bad days. Today was yours. It was awful. And even what was funny, you know it's bad when Blauer sounds irritated. He never really sounds irritated. He'll always go, you know, Aaron will kind of give the snarky, I guess they're going to call that a strike. And then, you know, Blowers might give you a, yeah, or something. But today he's like, that's not even close. That's not even close. I mean, he was clearly irritated. So if you're getting him to respond that way, you know things are going the wrong way. But that's not why they lost. It didn't help.
Yeah, and, you know, it was Chris Sale. I don't know if that was respect for him, some of those pitches, but... Yeah, and then,
didn't,
you know,
somebody think he could beat you up because he's tall?
I think it was more because of the age thing.
I thought it was his length. Like, oh, he's super tall.
Yeah, there was somebody that used to be on this show that thought that that he could whoop me. But, yeah, that was after that whole scissors thing where he cut up all the jerseys because he didn't want to wear them. So I just thought that was a punk move. But, yeah, I mean... He had a lot of respect for Chris Sale. And then, you know, the guy the night before, and I don't even know who was the umpire, but, you know, when Fried was pitching with ridiculous curveballs, like calling those right, I really admire that. You appreciate it. You see where the ball is and all of a sudden where it ends up. And it's like, it was all over that. And today it was the exact opposite. I think it was Sale's slider, I think, that was getting the pitch.
I felt like anything calls. That was on the outside of the plate by a good 3-4 inches was getting the call. He was consistent. He was just consistently bad.
Yeah.
But you know, that aside, that was one element of the game. You got to play defense. You got to play clean defense. You got to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves. And for the most part, they've been able to, when those don't happen, this team has found a way. I mean, sitting in first place and winning 5 series in a row against good teams, starting with a sweep of the Cincinnati Reds, and you know, you beat both World Series participants, the winner and the other team in the Diamondbacks, and then the team with the best record in baseball comes to town and you win that series. So, yeah, not happy that they lost today, but I'm not going to put more into the one loss than I will the two wins.
Two guys, though, that, you know, I was talking about Julio last night, but, again, went 3-for-5, scored a run, had a double. And then you look at Polanco, too, went 2-for-5 today, a couple RBIs for him, a couple strikeouts, but... You know, that's another guy that's got to get it going. So, yeah, those two, that's a good sign for them in this game, taking off on the road trip here. Hopefully they'll continue that. And this is going to be a big test here, even though Houston's, you know, you look at their hitting, and I think they're getting some players back, but also you just look at, you know, they've got the good players. They're not performing now.
I think Bregman's off to a brutal start, and they've got their issues with injuries, I certainly don't think this team does, and I don't think most fans or anybody sleeps on Houston, because even when Houston was bad in those years, they were losing 100-plus games. They were we talk about this all the time. They were the equivalent of the Rams to the Seahawks, where the Rams would have this just dog patch record. They just looked like a bad team, and then the Seahawks would play them, and all of a sudden it was a tooth and nail battle, and they would often lose. And you're just like, what is going on? And that was the Astros. Astros have always been problematic for the most part for the Mariners, even in the years where the Astros were pretty much a garbage team. It's fun to see them struggle. It's fun to see them at the bottom of the division with that record. But I don't go in there going, well, they're going to steamroll this team, because that's the Astros. It's a division rival. There's that natural building hate between the two franchises. So you got to go in. You got to be sharp. You got to play better defense than you did today. You'll get better starting pitching. But more importantly, that offense, they've just got to figure out a way. And I don't know. Again, we've talked about that. It's very easy to say, well, you just got to swing at the right pitches. We hear Scott say that. You got to make some adjustments. Whatever that means to each individual player, they need to get that figured out, because at some point it just you can't realistically expect the rotation to do what they've been doing for 18 games. They allowed 18 earned runs, which is just unheard of. And then today was the first day where you had a starter go out there and look like, all right, he doesn't have it today. Even though technically their stretch continues with two earned runs or less, because he was only charged with one earned run today, Emerson Hancock.
Yeah.
All the damage happening after that error. So,
we were in the press conference, and he walked in and walked out. He was pissed, no question about it. And he's a very calm looking guy, and just look his demeanor and everything. But you could tell he was really upset about it. And I wanted to say, hey kid, don't put too much pressure on yourself, man. But he's a competitor. It's just amazing. Another stat I saw on MLB this morning was the team pitching strikeout percentage, the leaders this season, Mariners number one. And it goes Twins, Cleveland, Philly, the New York Mets. I think the Red Sox have the best ERA as far as their ERA goes. Mm-hmm. The Boston Red Sox do, but it's just an incredible run that this pitching is on right now.
It's going to be interesting. That Twins team, I think they just won their 10th in a row today. So That is a team that is smoking hot, and we'll see what happens when the Mariners get into their conflict with them. But so they didn't get it today. They got the big win last night. You saw Polanco with the home run last night. By the way, how'd you feel with Munoz on the hill last night? It felt like things were starting to get away from him.
He
fielded that ball, throws it nowhere near first base. You're going, dude, what was that?
Yeah.
That was... We love the guy. He couldn't find a nicer guy, but that was dreadful. And I thought, okay, is this going to be where the wheels come off? We saw it one time this year where he walked four and walked in the winning run. And, I thought it was good. They came out to the mound and tried to chill him out a little bit. Like, all right, let's just focus on the guy at the plate here. No harm done. Let's just get this. We still got the lead. We're good. And they were able to get it done. I thought that was pretty big, because that very easily could have gone the wrong direction.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, throughout this entire run that they've had here, there's been lots of talk about Cal and how he is able to get out there and, calm these guys down. And he does a really good job with this rotation. So he's starting to get more credit. I hear his name mentioned more and more. And, obviously a clutch hitter, but the way he handles all of these pitchers, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was. He's crucial to that. The pitching coach came out. He's crucial to it. One other element from last night's game that I don't know how much it got talked about prior to the game today, but Dylan Moore made a fantastic defensive play in the eighth inning last night, which was crucial. I mean, it was a bang bang play at first, but he comes in, fields the ball, throws the ball. Basically, his feet are off the ground by the time he releases it. And just gets it there, and that was maybe the game saving play. That was huge last night. So I want to make sure to give Dylan Moore props for that.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. I don't know how he got anything on that throw.
Yeah,
I think Is he one of those guys maybe that when you look at the metrics, there might be like his range is so good that he gets to a lot of things where you're like, you might be tempted to say, oh, I should have made that play. But like it would have been a really good, you know, if he had made him, you know, a couple of plays that we saw from him. So, but yeah, I love having him. It's nice having Haggerty back and having those utility guys help you out. But you're right. Dylan Morris seems to make just spectacular defensive plays.
All right. Coming up, plenty more to discuss after this series win over the Braves, including one area that needs to improve on the road trip for the Mariners. We'll get into that coming up next as we continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob on Seattle Sports.
We are live at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. Mariners drop the finale to the Atlanta Braves, but they win the series, taking 2-3 from the best team in baseball as far as records are concerned. So they have won 5 series in a row, and they're doing it with the offense largely underperforming, which you can look at both ways. That's very concerning, or it's amazing what their pitching's been able to do and just proves how good it is. And we'll talk more about that. But we touched on Julio in the opening segment, Dave. He was 0-for-9 in the series before the 3 hits today. Mm-hmm. And you really hope that's the start. We're saying that with a lot of guys. Blanco, hopefully that's the start. Mitch Garver with a walk-off home run. Hopefully that's the start. You got so many guys that are just having a hard time being consistent. I don't expect everybody to go, you know, have a 162-game hit streak and have a hit every game, but it just feels like it's feast or famine. They'll have that 3-hit day, and then it's the next 3 games are hitless, or, you know, they're hitting into double plays and killing rallies. Just got to find a little more consistency to this offense. I think with this rotation goes a very, very long way. And with Julio, I'd love to know how often they're – I don't know if it's every single game he gets together with the hitting coach and they look at video. Remember, we talked to Blowers yesterday about when he would struggle, and he talked about how he would look at film of when he was really going well and, you know, what did his swing look like, and then look at film of when he was struggling and do the, you know, A and B. What am I seeing here? What is standing out? And he talked about some of the adjustments to the naked eye. We're not going to pick it up, but to the hitter, it's going to feel completely different. Whatever that is for Julio, and we'll talk about other guys certainly, but he's the main guy. He's the spark plug for this offense. He's got to get it figured out because he's the one that is paid to do the damage. He's the one that's paid to, you know, bring in the runs and hit the home runs when you need, or at least come up with the base hit when you've got an opportunity to score somebody. Somebody's in scoring position. At least get the ball in the air and, you know, just. Those moments seem like there have been a ton of them so far that it hasn't happened for him. And I don't know if it's him just pressing so much, but that's something I think in order for them to be successful throughout the season, but certainly just the start of this road trip, you got to see him come through when those opportunities present themselves.
Especially on this trip, this one kind of worries me because if you look at, you know, who was in the lineup today, the guy with the best batting average is Julio, which is .256 and going into today. So I'm sure it's better. But
.270 now.
It's .270. So, I mean, you look at the Astros lineup, and, I mean, if you look at guys that are hitting over .250, they got 4 or 5 of them. We have 1, and that's it, really. So yeah,
that's every day because you got Rojas.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, with Julio, that's just talking about him specifically, really. I mean, he's got to be the leader. He's got to be the guy that goes out and gets hits in big situations and does damage and just has not been that guy. But, yeah, that's the thing. You know, I'm very wary of the leery, I should say, of the Houston Astros just because they have so many bats. And, you know, there's going to be times where we don't have this great pitching run, where, you know, there's going to be struggles and the offense has to pick him up, and he's got to be the leader.
Yeah, he's got to get it going. Mitch Haniger, again, love the guy, love that he's back here, but since the Rangers series, 3-for-32 with 13 strikeouts. You got to have more than that. If you're going to be in right field and struggle defensively, you better be producing, right? You better find one area where, all right, I'm coming up short in this area, but I'm producing over here. You at least have to feel like it's evening out a bit, and right now it's not. But here's the problem when you've got so many guys that are struggling. there aren't really options. I mean, who are you going to throw in there? You don't have a world beater sitting on the bench who's just waiting for his opportunity to light things up. That guy doesn't exist, right? You don't have that guy. You got Sebi Savala on there, who, good for him, he had two hits today. He's got five hits on the season, and they came in two games. He had three hits in one game, two in this game. You know, you've got, you know, Haggerty, you've got Urias. These are all guys that aren't doing anything really themselves. So the idea that, you know, you look at Mitch and go, okay, he's 3 for 32. Maybe they need to get him out of the off his feet for a bit. I don't know if there's fatigue. I don't know if he's pressing. What's going on there? I mean, because he's the one that was carrying the load early. He was leading your team in runs batted in. He was a guy who just looked like he was on fire in spring, and he kept it going to start the season. But he's kind of hit his valley right now, and I'll be curious to see how Scott handles that. If maybe they give him a few days as just the DH, and, you know, get him out of the outfield, get him off his feet for a bit, or what have you. But those are two guys I look at. In addition to everybody else, it's hard to, you can't pick on any one guy in this lineup because so many guys are struggling to find it. But those are two guys you look to as leaders for different reasons. Julio is the gifted franchise player you gave the huge contract to that's going to be the star. He's the face of the franchise. Mitch is your veteran. He's that guy who's in his 30s. He's been there. You've seen what he can do when he's healthy. He's got to be that guy. So for different reasons, those two need to figure it out.
Well, Haniger, I don't worry about. I do worry about Julio. I do worry that he's going to get it, whether he's going to get it right or not. Because I think, number one, he's got so much pressure on himself, and he's kind of put himself behind the eight ball a little bit. And then, you know, he's paid all the money, and I think he's going to probably put a lot of pressure on himself. With Mitch, I mean, he's been through so much adversity that I feel like I don't worry about anything that's going on with him mentally. You know, I feel like he's not that worrisome to me. I feel like he's been through so much and all the injuries and things like that, that seems like he's due to get it back, you know, at some point here quickly. But what about Hancock today? You know, as far as his start, and does that, you know, make you think anything differently about with Wu? Because I think it's nice that you got Brian Wu coming back here eventually. But I don't know. I mean, for Hancock, I don't worry too much. I feel like it's, maybe that was just a blip, but even if it is something that you're going to get out of him periodically, like we keep talking about, it's like having four offensive linemen and one kind of guy that's just okay. Mm-hmm. You're doing really well with that situation, that scenario. So, but with Brian Wu, I mean, what are you expecting from him? And what do you think about, you know, with this outing, does that directly affect their plans with him?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, you look at the three starts prior to this, he gave you three quality starts in a row, six innings, two runs, six innings, one earned run, six innings, one earned run. I mean, yeah, he was on a roll. And if anybody is susceptible, if anybody's you know, if you were going to point to which one of these five is the likely one to have a bad day, I think most people are going to point to him just based on the limited resume. Young guy, you know, he had the one bad, really bad start early. It was against Milwaukee where he went 3 1/3, gave up 8 earned runs. I mean, it was dreadful. But then he bounced back from that with those three quality starts. So, yeah, I think he's probably the most likely to be up and down based on his youth and inexperience. But I'd be surprised if today changed Scott's mind or anybody's mind. I think they get it. So whatever their position is on Wu and when he's ready to go, I don't think it's been altered by today, good or bad. If Hancock went out there and gave you six innings and gave up two runs and gave you another quality start, I think their plan is their plan. If Wu is healthy and ready to go, and they feel like, hey, he can get out there and give us a solid five, maybe six. I don't know what the limit is on him to start things, but I think he goes back. And what they do with Hancock, we talked about or played those clips from Passan saying he thinks, you know, I could see them putting him in the bullpen as a long relief guy. But at the same time, maybe they're going to want to keep him stretched out just in case somebody gets hurt and he's ready to jump in.
Hancock, he also reminds me of the guy who's running the board today. Kind of looks like him a little bit. He looks like our Brady Bones.
Yeah,
he does. So? He's young looking and kind of a tall, skinny dude.
Tall drink of water.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Especially when he's on the mound.
Yeah, that's his doppelganger out there. All right, coming up, our Seahawk profiles continue. We'll take a look at their second and third picks of this most recent draft. That is coming up next with Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports on 710.